This is the More Jodi podcast, and it's just me talking about faith, life, wellness, relationships, and whatever I'm currently learning, unlearning, or laughing about. So pull up a chair. If this episode resonates with you, I would kindly ask that you share it with a friend and click subscribe. Thanks for being here. Okay, friends, I've got a little coffee secret that's about to upgrade your mornings. StrongCoffeeCompany.com. Yes, instant coffee, but not that sad, weak stuff you're picturing. This is premium, fair trade, robust, and smooth, and packed with perks. Their black instant coffee contains 15 grams of protein, 5 grams of MCTs, and 250 milligrams of adaptogens like ashwagandha and L-theanine. And you know those are my favorites. Translation, energy that lasts, focus that sticks, and a little calm with zero jitters. And if you're a latte lover, they've got you covered too. Creamy, dreamy, with protein, collagen, and healthy fats, coffee that actually fuels your mind and body for hours. So if your mornings need a little magic, and honestly, whose don't, check out strongcoffeecompany.com. Use code MOREJODI to get 20% off at checkout. Your future self, fully caffeinated and thriving, will thank you. Hey friends, welcome back to the podcast. It's an honor to have you spend time with me. It's an honor to think about you all week and wonder how I can give you hope, inspire you, cheer you on, and be really real. And today I was really praying in the last couple days that God would show me what I needed to talk about today, because I had a plan to talk about leadership with teenagers, which is what I'm directly, I'm living in that life right now with two boys at 13 and 15, but my father-in-law passed away. It'll be 2 weeks in 2 days here. And it just feels like everything feels hard. And my husband went away, to be with his mom, and then he came back and he's so sad and everyone's so sad. And it's so strange when someone dies who wasn't ill. My father-in-law always had lots of health issues, but he'd had them the whole time I'd known him. And just the funniest guy. And we're so full of smiles and laughter as we talk about him. And we loved him so much. But when someone isn't sick in a hospital bed and they die in a matter of minutes, it's like they never left. And so I'm in this weird spot right now where, you know, it's 2 weeks in, I'm carrying on, like air quotes, and yet there's this deep sadness in me, and then it's the darkest time of year. And so I wanted to be honest that today I started the day upbeat. I spent time with God. I went for a walk. I started work and went to some meetings. And then what I noticed was I think I'm really absorbing other people's whatever in the day, however they're doing, however they're feeling. It's like I'm taking it on and I don't mean to, and I don't know why it's happening or if it's happening because I'm like an extra, you know, weak or tender or vulnerable moment. I don't know if I'm like more porous. I'm absorbing stuff like a sponge. But I noticed that I was having a great day and then something threw me off that felt like outside of me. And so I got really sad and I felt really stuck and I didn't know what to do. And I sat at my desk and I had like one of those cries where you kind of don't cry because in the moment your body isn't ready to cry, but I'm so confused about certain things that I can't get clear on. And so I had this moment where I thought, get your house in order, which I was kind of what I wanted to share with you, because you're like, what? But get your house in order was like, I went to the kitchen, I ate some food. I went to the couch and I wrote out a prayer. I sat there, I turned on music. I started to cry, legit tears. Then I was like, okay, I went back to work. Sat there for a little bit, thought, no, you're still too stuck. Went back to the kitchen, decided I'm going to go work out. Went and did a workout, came upstairs, showered, had another cry. And then decided to come and write this podcast. So I feel better. I feel better after I got my house in order. And it sounds funny, but I don't know if you have those boxes to check. when you feel stuck. And I knew some of the thoughts I was having were lies. They weren't truth. They were panic. They were anxious. And when I prayed for God to speak. I said, quiet my thoughts, silence the enemy, and give me the mind of Christ. That was what I prayed. And then I went through my practices, right? I went through, I did my exercise. I made sure I was fed. I made sure my heart was nourished. I turned on some soul encouraging music. And then I came to write to you. So then I thought that's pretty cool because what I want to talk to you about is leadership, pivoting, and not losing your mind by 3 p.m. And I started writing this episode over a week ago. And that title is from over a week ago. And it was just so interesting how I have to live this out in a moment. And then I want to share it with you just so you know you're not alone, but so you maybe have some other ways of coping. But the whole point of this episode is to talk to you sort of about that leadership pivoting and regulation in your own body. And really the special thing is that you are doing that in real time. And much like I want to influence you, you want to influence your staff, your kids, your family, your parents, and all that stuff. So that is my very long intro to this podcast, which is now 5 minutes. But there are two kinds of advice I hear all the time. One says, push through. And the other says, listen to your body. And if you know me at all, you know that mostly those things are being said in my mind at the exact same time. And I push through better than I listen to my body, but I am growing and learning. Sometimes your body says, I need a break. And sometimes it wants chips. My body always wants chips on Friday night with a glass of wine watching Dateline. That's like my thing. And if you're a teenager or honestly a grown adult, you've probably wondered, which one am I supposed to listen to? So when you think about your kids, think about how they don't yet know maybe that their feelings lie to them. They don't know that every thought in their head isn't truth. How do we show them that? How do we show them what voice to listen to? And how do we have those conversations with them? So I have to start by being really honest, right? This winter has been really heavy for me. My sweet Kenny just passed away. And grief has a way of sneaking into your body before your brain can catch up. I noticed this with my kids dealing with the loss of their beloved papa. And my son just had pain in all sorts of areas in his body. Now he's like a total athlete and does a lot of stuff. And so that could be part of it. But my husband said, maybe this is the pain showing up in his body and your body keeps the score. We know that's true. So add in the darkness, add in the cold, the winter days. And there are moments where just getting through the afternoon feels like leadership, right? Not the flashy kind, the quiet kind. So when I talk about leadership today, I'm not talking from a stage, obviously. I am talking to you from across the booth at a restaurant where we are sharing a glass of wine and some chips and guac. I'm talking from real life because leadership doesn't mean doing whatever you feel like in the moment, right? It also doesn't mean running yourself into the ground just to prove you can. So today I'm talking about leadership, not the kind with titles or trophies, but the kind that starts young. This is how you learn to lead yourself. And if you're in this moment, you're like, I'm 55 and I don't know how to lead myself yet, or I've just recently started leading myself. Like, I want you to recognize yourself as the leader in your own life. It sounds silly that I would have to say that to you, but it's teaching you how to pivot in the middle of the day, how to separate your feelings from truth, how to protect your nervous system from overload, and how to decide, like in real time, what success looks like for you today, this quarter, this year, in your life vision. And yes, the episode is geared towards helping you deal with your teens. But much like I said at the beginning today, I had to get my house in order. It's the same. My friend Erin from Relentless and Real, that is so hard to say. We should have thought that through. She always says, look at your teens like a toddler. Have they been fed? Have they slept? You know, like what are their needs in this moment? Are they hot? Are they cold? Are they whatever? Make it simple. And it's the same for us. So I hope you're an adult and you're listening and you're thinking, oh, wow, I also need this. So you're not alone. So what real leadership actually is. That's what I want to get into now. So I talk a lot about independence. I want teens to be independent. I want them to make good choices. I want them to be good leaders when other people are watching and when no one's watching, right? Like that's how we teach them what integrity is. But here's what I don't always explain. Leadership isn't control. It's that self-direction. And if you can teach teens that they really can listen to that still small voice in their mind, in those situations, listen to their body, like, ooh, does this feel like a situation? I always say, if you feel like you should run away, absolutely run away, like get out of the situation. But like thinking about being in the sandwich generation right now, I'm 43. I have teenage kids. I have aging parents now grieving the loss of my father-in-law. I'm trying to hold together a marriage, a home, a calling, a nervous system, dinner on the table, all those things all at the same time. And if you're in this stage of life like me, it can feel like everything is stuck. And it's not always like everything is falling apart dramatically, but nothing's moving forward either. That's also a lie. And it's not because of a lack of faith. It's just that this is a heavy season. When things are heavy, you move slower, right? Picture yourself in a farmer carry. You're supposed to do this as you get old. You're supposed to carry 75% of your body weight in a farmer carry. I don't know. I think that means like you live to 98 or something. And I'm like, I weigh a lot. I could not carry that much of my body weight. My little hands would give up. But when things are heavy, you move slow. It makes sense, right? So leadership in seasons like this isn't about charging ahead. It's about moving slowly, staying present, and making more like calculated and smart choices, right? So when you think about it in terms of working out, it's not throwing a kettlebell around. That's how you put your back out. It's about like pushing to be stronger, building resistance slowly, but still you're always moving forward. It's the ability to pause and ask, like, what matters right now? What actually needs to happen? And what happens if I don't force momentum that God never asked me to create? So being your own leader means you don't need someone standing over you telling you what to do. It means you check in with yourself and with God without panic. And my good friend, Ashley, she was just visiting and she's given me two things. I'm sitting here in my office. She gave me a bookmark that says, "Be still and know that I am God," Psalm 46:10. Then she has, "The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still," Exodus 14:14. She's always telling me, just be patient. I'm a puncher. Just kidding. But it's like, it's so true. I get so fixed on momentum that sometimes just sitting here is what I'm supposed to do. And then she said the other day that when she feels like she's kind of stuck, she just says, "God, what is it you want me to do for you right now in this moment where I'm stuck?" And I was like, whoa. So that was one way to think of it, which I thought was really interesting. Sometimes God's just asking you to stay still, be patient, wait it out. So I want to talk about listening to your body without letting it run the show. And we hear that phrase all the time, right? Listen to your body. I just said it. What do you feel in your body? Like if I'm telling my kids, you know, if you're afraid or you feel like you need to get out of that situation, like I don't care what happens, get out of that situation. I will pick you up. I will find you wherever, but get out of it, right? So figuring out how to do this for yourself as well as teach your kids. So like, what if my kid says, "Well, my body was absolutely like, I should not do algebra today," right? And so sometimes our body speaks clearly. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's loud. Sometimes it's not. And so it's, I think too, like taking into account what else is going on, this low level heaviness, this grief, winter. You know, it's not always tears. Sometimes it's exhaustion that doesn't make sense. Listening to your body doesn't always mean obeying every craving or every impulse, right? It means asking better questions. So instead of "what do I want right now?" it's like, "what do I need right now?" So say it's 1 o'clock and I'm feeling off. What do I need right now so that I'm not melting down by 3, right? Like, do I need a workout? Do I need water? Do I need electrolytes? Do I need protein? Do I need to go outside and scream? Do I need to turn the music up really loud? What do I need? So there will always be days where your body wants to quit everything. And sometimes you need to let it. But was actually needed for me, and something that's been helping lately, is to delete one thing, delegate another, and then downshift my expectations, right? So teaching, so doing this yourself. And then what I try to do with my kids is I try to talk about it. My son came home today and he saw my face because I've been in the shower crying. And then he's like, "You look really sad." And I don't want to overwhelm him. I don't want to stress him out. So I don't tell him everything. But I said, "Yeah, I just feel really stuck right now." And I said, "Can you pray for me today?" And he's like, "Yeah." He's like, "I actually already did. I just had a feeling I needed to," which is really cool. And so oftentimes in that moment, he didn't think to, but like, a friend will see this, your husband will see this, and they'll be like, "Can I help with something? Is there something, you know what I mean, I can do?" And we always just say no. But in that moment, delegating something can make a big difference for you, right? Because leadership includes making these sort of decisions, regulating. And if you're overloaded, exhausted, hungry, overstimulated, your decision-making is going to be off anyway. So instead of powering through, let's do the three D's. Check in, and then delete, delegate, and downshift. So delete what doesn't need to happen today, or what does need to happen today, right? And so if you know that your house isn't in order, whether it's your actual house, you know, or whether it's like with what you need to do in your body to feel your best, those things probably need to happen today. And if you're like, "You know what? Actually, what I need is rest. And so I'm going to leave the laundry till tomorrow," like, that's leadership in your life, right? So a lot of times it looks like letting things go that I normally pride myself in doing well. And that's humbling sometimes, right? Or it was funny because on Relentless Unreal podcast this week, Erin said, you know, like I said, "I'm learning I need to say no." And she's trying to have more fun. So she's having more fun. And I'm like, "No, I can't come." Because I'm trying to calm myself down. So it's funny, right? So if I go to delegate, who or what can help me right now? Can I ask for help? Can I simplify? Can I stop doing this thing alone? When people pass away, all your friends say to you, "Let me know if I can help." And we never take them up on it. I'll only take them up if they're just like, "Hey, can I bring you dinner today?" I'm like, "Absolutely." Right? But if they said like, "Do you want me to bring you?" No, I would always say yes to dinner. But if they're like, "Let me know if you need anything." I'm like, "I need everything. I don't know what to tell you." Right? So grief taught me that pretending I'm fine costs more than asking for help, right? So, and then downshift, what's the smallest gear I can move without stopping completely, right? Ed Milet's The Power of One More, my favorite book, one of my favorite books. He's always saying, "Can you just do one more thing? Can you make one more call? So if I'm going to log off today, can I send one more email? Can I do one more thing that moves the needle forward?" Because it's like death by a thousand pokes or something. That's not a good example. But I guess if you poke somebody so many times, eventually they'll die. I don't know. Basically, the more you keep doing things, the more progress you'll have. You're still moving, right? So leadership isn't always pushing harder, but it's canceling one thing and drinking water, right? That's not weakness. That's wisdom. So being smart about what you need. And then leading yourself in that way when everything does feel stuck, right? So not failing, not crashing, just stuck. It's kind of like that messy middle. And this is where feelings can get loud. And here's something I want to say very clearly. Your feelings are real, but they're not always true. They are information, not instruction. And I encourage you, when you have feelings like I did today, to walk away from any devices, walk away from conversations, and have yourself a little time out like you would give to your toddler. So there have been days this winter when my feelings told me nothing is changing, nothing is working. This is how it's always going to feel. And those feelings felt really convincing. But leadership, especially self-leadership, means learning to not obey every emotion. Feelings make terrible leaders. You might totally disagree, but they exaggerate, they catastrophize, they tell partial truths and present them like facts. And this is where faith has looked different for me lately. So instead of asking God to fix it or explain it, I've been learning to pause and ask, "What do you want from me here, God? What can I do in this moment? Not when I'm strong, not when I'm clear, but right in the middle of my brokenness." And sometimes the answer isn't action. Sometimes it's just surrender. Just leave it. Sometimes it's a whispered prayer. Sometimes it's what I think of as that song, "A Broken Hallelujah." not praise because everything is good, but praise God because he's still holding me. So, and on the days when even that feels like too much, I've learned it's okay to just say like, God help me. That's it. And he's there. And that's leadership too. That's faith that doesn't perform. That's trust when feelings are loud, but God is steady. And so I want to change how we define success in the moment, in the day, in the quarter, in the year, in the life vision. Because most of us were taught that success means finishing everything, checking every box, not disappointing everyone, anyone or everyone. But grief has a way of redefining everything. After my father-in-law died, there were days where success was just like not crying in public and ruining my eye makeup. I actually had my first day the other day where I was like, nope, you're not going to cry right now. Right. And so, and it was just because I had just done my face and I was so tired of my puffy eyes. To my friends who are interested in lymphatic drainage, I've been brushing my face, which sounds so funny that I like to say it to people. But I wanted to say that it actually does help a lot. It seems, especially when you've been having days and nights where you're grieving and, you know, crying more than normal, that does help. So here's how I define success now. Success is staying regulated. Success is staying the path that I've committed to. Success is keeping my word to myself. Success is ending the day without resenting my life. Some days, success is productivity. Other days, success is survival. So both count. And sometimes it looks like getting through the day without snapping at people. And sometimes it looks like doing one thing well instead of 10 things halfway, right? And then I try to think, something we do in mastermind and in coaching is we ask people, if what is one nuclear thing in your life that if it changed today would change everything? Because sometimes what you realize is the messy middle leads to the great outcome, and you're just a couple moves away from seeing big success in a certain category or pushing over. It's like when I don't know if you ever fast. When I fast, it's not for, well, it does help you. I mean, it helps everything. It's so good for you. But when I fast, I do it for prayer. So I'll pray about something that whole day and I'll do 24 hours. It's what I try to do. I find it so hard. I won't lie. But what you notice is it gets easier. You just never know what's behind the next hour when you don't give up. And I feel like a deeper sense of connection with God. I pray over people that I love and situations that are hard and things that really matter to me. I submit myself to God, and it is like, it's a hard day, but it feels like my most nourishing day of the week because I rest and I pray and it just feels really beautiful. So all that aside, I wanted to, you know, say that letting ourselves grieve isn't a personal failure. Letting ourselves struggle, being honest about what's really happening. I always say God knows anyway, so there's no point lying about how you're really doing when you're in your own mind. And we can't punish ourselves for being human, right? But just something I thought was kind of funny, something you could do with yourself is called leader or lizard brain. So canceling one thing when you feel overwhelmed, leader, right? Eating chips instead of dinner every night, lizard brain. Asking for help instead of suffering silently, leader. Ignoring your limits to prove a point, lizard brain. I feel like I do that. Leadership isn't about never wanting comfort. It's about choosing what actually serves you, right? That keeps you on that path that you're on, that you want to be on. And yes, sometimes that still includes chips because chips are super important. So if you're in a season that feels heavy and you're caring for both people, like both ages of the spectrum, kids and parents, and you've got grief and responsibility and callings you're working on and businesses and jobs and exhaustion and a poor economy, my best advice to you is turn off the news, open a book, get outside, drink your water, eat some delicious, nutrient-dense food, move your body. Kickboxing is something I highly recommend, like shadow kickboxing. You can punch the crap out of whatever you want. But I want you to hear this. You're not stuck because you're doing something wrong. You may simply be in a season that requires presence and less progress. And leadership starts with listening to your knowing and then knowing when you're listening to feelings that are lying to you, right? So God is not absent in quiet seasons. And for those of my friends here who haven't ever decided that they are a believer in God or accepted Jesus as their savior, I just want you to know that over and over and over in the Bible, it says, knock and the door will be open to you. Seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. God wants to hear from you. He does not expect you to go through this life by yourself. And so he's not absent in quiet seasons. God is doing some of his deepest work there. And you're allowed to change course. You're allowed to project your energy, and you're allowed to define success differently in hard seasons. You're in charge here, and you don't lead alone. I'm here with you. So thank you so much for coming today and sharing this time with me. Please share this podcast with a friend and let me know what you thought of it. I would love.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at RSS.com.
Love to hear from you. Thanks so much.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.